God's Word this holy day. Father, Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit always on your church, and may we gladly hear and believe your holy Word. Give us faith, give us understanding. Your Word is strong and powerful and living. Bless us now with it, now and always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so what? So what, First Lutheran Church? On Reformation Sunday, I always think that's kind of a fair question. So what? Martin Luther was born November 10th, 4083, over in Germany. Well, so what? Over 500 years ago, how does it really relate to me in Knoxville, Tennessee, in 2014? And October 31st, 1517, he mailed the 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. But, so what? What's that really have to do with me? I don't see any theses nailed on my church door. Been 500 years almost. And in 1521, Luther was brought before the papal authorities and the emperor, told to recant his teachings. He said, "Here I stand. Great, 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 but so what? I'm not drugged before the papal authorities, and the emperor's not here today. So what? How does it really relate to me here in Tennessee?" In 1530, the Augsburg Confession, a summary of what we believe, was brought before the emperor again, Charles V, and he accepted that confession, basically officially accepting Lutheranism in the empire. But again, so what? Lutheranism is accepted here in America now. Always has been. What's the big deal? Well, let's be clear today. The Reformation is not about Martin Luther. Don't throw stones at me. It's really not. It's not about 95 theses. It's not about "Here I Stand," really. It's not about the Pope or the Emperor or about Germany. The Reformation, as we all know, I pray, is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the big so what. The Reformation is about the gospel. And the gospel relates today. It applies today. It did 500 years ago, and it will every day. For the gospel forgives my sins today. The gospel makes me right with God. The gospel saves little Eben today. She's in the family of God. The gospel gives me a peace in my heart, a joy, a hope that the world cannot touch, the devil can't touch. The gospel promises me eternal life. The gospel, that's what it's all about. Luther's father was a miner. And I think in a sense, Luther also was a miner. He ever dug the treasure, the gold of the gospel, which was covered up in all the heresies of the church. And he mined it out of the scriptures, and he mined out all the heresy, and he upheld the pure gold that was always there. That was about the gospel. And so in Reformation time, we proclaim sola scriptura on your banner. That scripture alone is the foundation of our lives. It's what we can trust and put our hope in, nothing else. And we confess, sola gratia, that we're saved by grace alone, not by what we do. And we are also proclaimed sola fide, we're saved through faith alone. Not my effort, not my thinking, not my logic, not my willpower, not my decision, but purely by the Holy Spirit and His power. Now that relates. And so, three simple lessons for the church that has this treasure today, the gospel. Church, be cautious. And church, be confident. And oh, church, be courageous today. First of all, may we, the church, ever be very, very cautious with the gospel that's been given to us. May we beware and be ever alert and be very cautious. May we ever beware of anything that we would say or do or teach that would undermine the gospel. That would cover up the gospel. That would twist or alter the gospel. God forbid we do that. That would push the gospel aside as if there's something else more important in the church than the gospel of Jesus. God forbid we ever do that. Be cautious with this gold, this treasure of the gospel. They Martin Luther's day, may we be cautious and beware of all heresy and false teaching, anything that would corrupt the gospel, poison it. And so there's a message for pastor and teachers in the church, Sunday school teachers, day school teachers, principal, and for parents who teach and grandparents as we teach the faith. Be cautious, beware. What are your children learning? What are they really learning about God? Is it the truth and nothing but the truth? There's a lot of heresy in it that's poisoning your child. Beware of what I would teach and preach and what anybody would teach and preach. And you that are students, children, and youth, and others, we're all learning, of course, at all times. Beware of what you're listening to. Is it really the truth of the Holy Word of God, or is it some kind of heresy? Be on guard. You know, Luther compared heresy to a peacock. You know a peacock. Crown, feathers, looks so impressive. Oh, look at the peacock. You go to the zoo in London, but look at that peacock. It spreads its feathers. Wow. What an impressive animal. Looks so good. And when there's a heresy, it looks that way. Heresy always looks like a proud peacock. Oh, it's impressive. Looks like it's true. Oh, I want that. The fact that the heresy that there be many gods. Oh, it sounds reasonable. Looks like a peacock. That looks so good. That sounds reasonable to me that there's many gods. Must be true. It's poison and heresy. Or the fact that I have to contribute something to my salvation that year. It sounds so logical. It sounds so good and impressive. Surely I have to do something. I might have to do something to earn my paycheck to get a good grade. I must do something before God to save myself. Sounds so good. Peacock. Yet it leads to hell. Sure, there's other gods. Leads to hell. Heresy always looks good. Always looks impressive. But then Luther adds, no one believes a peacock, do they? Peacocks are kind of mean, Luther writes. They boast of them, they're mean, they're nasty. Anybody have a peacock for Thanksgiving? Christmas peacock. Let's have peacock for Reformation Sunday. You get close to the things mean, and it tastes crumb. And that's heresy. Looks so good. When I taste of it, I get too close. Yeah. This poisons me and leads me away from God. Be cautious. Secondly, be confident, First Lutheran Church. Be confident in the gospel of Jesus. Meaning, believe the gospel. Put your trust in the gospel. Put your hope in the gospel. May the gospel be your one sure foundation. The gospel is not just some nice idea. It's not some nice theory. It's not some nice stories about somebody named Jesus a couple thousand years ago. And I'm supposed to think about the gospel and mull over my mind and consider, what do I believe? What do I don't believe? Is it really true? It's not some fairy tale that I smile about. Ah, it might be that old fairy tale. The gospel is to be believed. Put our hope in it. Put my whole eternity in the hands of the gospel as Jesus Christ. Not a nice idea that I put next to all the other ideas of religion out there. Now, which one do I want to choose? Maybe this gospel, maybe that teaching, maybe that one, Islam, Hinduism, Spiritism, and all the various, all those kind of pick and choose. Have my own religion that leads me right to hell. This is the gospel, the power of God to save. It is to be trusted and believed and held on to. This is not some opinion. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ saves. Anybody teaches us something else is of the devil. Now, when you are guilty and you sin, we all do, and you feel horrible around, and you have a heavy load of guilt, then's the time to put your confidence in the gospel that Jesus died for your sins and you're forgiven. Not just an idea, but an insult. And when you are suffering and you're in pain and you feel very lonely, then is the time to put your confidence in the gospel. That I will never leave you forsaken, God says. I love you. You're my baptized child. I believe in you. Will never leave you forsaken. She belongs in the rest of her life on the eternity. That's something to believe and hope in. And dear friend, when you're on your deathbed and you are diseased and you are dying, what are you going to put your hope in? Then's the time to put your full hope, your confidence in the gospel of Jesus, that He is the resurrection. He is the life. He's the way, the truth, the life, the one who's conquered death for me, and so I live in glory. Howard Einstein, they say, said that if honeybees disappeared right now, if all the honeybees disappeared, human beings would all die off within 4 years. I don't know if that's scientifically correct. That's what Albert Einstein said. To show the importance of honeybees. Well, we have a great, great honey in the church. We have something sweeter than honey that comes from the body and the blood of Jesus, not me, but from Jesus. It's the sweet honey that we hear in our ears that our sins are forgiven. It's the sweet honey that you eat, taste, and see that the Lord is good. The sweet honey of forgiveness, the honey of mercy, the honey of God's love, the honey of eternal, that sweet honey of the gospel we have. Now, I'm here to say, this is not speculation. If you don't have it, you're going to die. And you're dead already right now, not 4 years from now. You're going to die eternally. But you have that sweet honey. You hear it, you eat and drink it, and you believe it. You don't just live. You live eternally, and you live in joy and peace. Be confident, church, in this gospel. And then last of all, be courageous. Now is no time to be shy. No time to be scared. No time to be a spiritual wimp. No time to keep quiet or be too busy or be too lazy. Now is the time for the Christian church that has the truth to rise up and boldly proclaim, courageously proclaim the good news of Jesus. That He is Lord of all and Savior of all. And we unashamedly and boldly proclaim it in love to our neighbor. That we love our neighbor. What would have happened if Luther would have kept it to himself? He would have read Scripture, well, wow, I'm saved by justification by faith. Wow, this is incredible. But I don't want to cause any trouble. The church has to teach this. I don't want to cause any trouble. I don't want to make any waves. I'll just keep it to myself. What would have happened? And friend, what's going to happen, parents? What's going to happen if you keep it to yourself? And your kids never hear from you that you love Jesus and He loves you and loves them and you talk about everything else that Jesus is doing. What's going to happen to your children, your grandchildren? What's going to happen to your neighbor if you never speak up? What's going to happen to your co-worker if you keep it to yourself? I'm saying, not the best I ever heard. What's going to happen to this dark, unleaving, lost world of war and pain and disease and everything else? If the Christian church doesn't rise up and speak up about the love of God in Christ Jesus, about the cross of redemption, the resurrection of glory, about the eternal victory of Jesus the God-man, what's going to happen? Now is the time for courage and boldness. I read where people subconsciously, this is subconsciously, the first thing that people notice about you is your shoes. Sounded kind of goofy to me. They recognize, so we're not shoes. I don't care what kind of shoes you have. I hope it's the world sees our hearts. The world sees our hearts that are full of faith in Jesus and full of love for Jesus. That's a witness when they see our hearts by how we live and how we speak and what we do. That's a witness. They don't care about your shoes. What's in your heart? What do you believe? And may the world see our eyes. We look in compassion upon the lowly. And we help and we serve all people. We love all people. We're merciful. They see around. Look at how they love each other. Look at how they love the world. That's a Christian witness. Love. And may the world see our hands serving and serving and helping and serving. That's a witness in your job and your workplace. You serve and serve. You're doing anything for anybody. That's the reputation we have. Because you love Christ and He loves you. That's a witness. And may above all the world see this thing right here open. And you praising God and praying to God and you speaking of your Savior Jesus. You use your tongue and your mouth and you speak. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. He died for me. He rose again for me. And I'll proclaim it to you, friend, because I want you to believe in the whole world. That's a witness. So what? Reformation Sunday. Well, the gospel is the big so what. It's here today, the sweet honey, in our mouth and our ears, take it to the dying world. Be cautious with the gospel. Be confident in the gospel, and oh, be courageous and be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. May God grant for Jesus' sake, and the whole church says,